Chapter 7. Lord Camden drew back his leg and slammed his boot into the side of the boy curled into a ball on the floor of the kitchen, then kicked him again, and again, and again, in the ribs, the stomach, the back, whatever body part happened to roll in front of his foot, his fury rising with every blow. The little bastard had been caught filching food for his family. Every crumb in Pinehurst's measly stores would be needed until Westcote's men were called away to mourn the death of their lord and cease this cursed siege. Camden would be damned if even one of those crumbs went into the mouth of a thieving whelp like the one moaning and weeping on the floor. One of the women present whimpered.
"Silence!"
Camden roared, spittle flying from his lower lip. "Or you will be next!" By the time he finished with this piece of filth, no other would even think of stealing from his larder. "My lord," a gruff voice said, just as Camden prepared to kick the boy in the head.
"What?"
he barked mid-kick and looked over his shoulder. Osbert, one of the men who guarded the walls, stood just inside the doorway.
"Sir Simon is demanding to speak to you."
Sir Simon, the burly knight from Westcote who had believed he could pass for Lord Dillon. Foolish knave. Even had Camden's spy not revealed the ruse in a missive, Camden was certain he would have swiftly guessed the truth. None were more clever than he.
"Have an archer fell him."
"He says he has received word from Westcote. He says you will wish to hear it."
Camden stilled. Tilting his head to one side, he ignored the groans of the boy at his feet and considered the soldier thoughtfully. Had the ambush already taken place? Had Lord Dillon been slain? Grim satisfaction suffused him, twisting his lips in a smile that made the other occupants of the kitchen take fearful steps backward. At last, the cursed Horson was dead. How Camden wished he had been the one who had wielded the crossbow. No more would Camden have to hear the praise heaped upon Lord Dillon's head. No more would he have to endure seeing the admiration that filled his father's eyes each time he spoke of Dillon turn to disappointment when he regarded his own son. Delivering a final kick to the moaning boy, Camden spun around and preceded the soldier out of the kitchens. Across the bailey they strode, and with every step, anticipation thrummed through Camden and swelled his chest. The siege that had barely begun would end now. Sir Simon and the rest of Westcote's men would withdraw to mourn the loss of their lord. Lord Robert would be too buried by grief to begin the siege anew. Camden would send missives to the king, alerting him to the tragic loss of his friend. The kind missive would, of course, include a fabricated account of Camden valiantly having hunted down and slain the thieves who were responsible. The same thieves, he would add, who had attacked Lord Robert and stolen the coin Lord Camden had sent to pay the delinquent taxes he owed. Alas, the coin had not been recovered. The king, in his benevolent gratitude, Camden thought with an inward sneer, would reverse his decision to take Pinehurst from him. Mayhap King Richard would even grant him some of Lord Dillon's lands. He seemed to reward Lord Dillon for every minuscule act he performed. If Dillon so much as visited the garderobe, he was granted another keep, the bastard. So why would King Richard not give Camden a boon for avenging the death of his beloved friend? Lord Dillon of Westcote would, at last, no longer be the most feared and revered warrior in England. Nay, Camden would assume that position. Upon reaching the gatehouse, he scaled the steps to the wall walk, two at a time. The men who manned it all bore grim expressions. Ignoring them, Camden leaned in to one of the crenellated openings in the wall, Osbert at his side. Sir Simon stood in the meadow below, what appeared to be every man he had brought with him lined up behind him. Had they not had their shields at the ready, Camden would have ordered his archers to fell them all.
"I am told you wish to speak with me,"
Camden called. Even work on the trebuchets had halted, he noted with triumph. Sir Simon removed his helm.
"Aye, I've news to share with you."
"Speak it,"
Camden commanded. A malicious smile lit Simon's face.
"Your plot has failed," he shouted.
Unease trickled through Camden. The men behind Simon did not mimic his smile. Nay, they all bore murderous expressions.
"Plot?" Camden called back. "I know not."
"The ambush you arranged did not gain you what you hoped it would," Simon interrupted. "Lord Dillon survived. Gavin has revealed your perfidy, and a missive has already been sent to the king granting him the details of your attempt to murder his most trusted warrior."
Camden's blood went cold. Gavin had betrayed him? Dillon had survived the ambush?
"You should have at least had the bollocks to try to kill him yourself, you bloody coward," Simon mocked him.
A rumble of agreement swelled behind Simon. Humiliation heated Camden's face.
"Kill him," he whispered hoarsely, his hands beginning to tremble.
"What?" Osbert asked.
"Surrender the keep now," Simon
ordered in a voice all of Pinehurst could hear,
"and mayhap, when Lord Dillon arrives, he will let you live."
"Kill him,"
Camden hissed furiously. Osbert murmured something. One of the archers behind Camden stepped into the next crenellated opening and raised his bow. An arrow struck the archer in the chest with a thwop. Camden watched him stagger backward and collapse. Heart racing, he returned his attention to Sir Simon.
"Did you fail to notice we have our own archers?" he drawled. "Sleep well tonight, Kerr, whilst you ponder the fate that awaits you."
Simon turned and strode away as though he had not a care. The other warriors closed ranks around him. Lord Dillon had survived. Camden's heart slammed against his ribs, and he cursed the fear that drove it. Dillon had survived. The king knew of the murder plot, and Simon had named Camden a coward loud enough for everyone at Pinehurst to hear. The corner of one eye began to twitch as fury battled fear. They thought themselves so much better than he. They were not fit to eat the shit that clung to the bottom of his boot. All was not lost, he silently vowed. Nay, all was not lost. They could not defeat him. They could not outwit him. Camden would punish Dillon, that bastard Simon, and every man they led who thought him a coward. Then he would claw his way up out of the mire.
There would be a reckoning.
Ah, yes, he would see to it. There would be a reckoning indeed. Alyssa awoke, a slow, gradual return to consciousness. She did not think she had slept long after Dillon's exit, an hour, mayhap. The deep sleep, bereft of dreams, had gone far toward easing her body's weakness. That odd humming was almost a memory. Her limbs no longer prickled with pain. Neither heat nor cold bombarded her. She was quite comfortable, actually. And yet, something seemed amiss. Frowning, Alyssa cautiously opened her eyes. The shutters had been closed whilst she had slept, leaving the chamber thick with shadows. One such shadow detached itself from the rest and loomed over her. Gasping, she lashed out with her fist, striking her assailant squarely in the nose. A slew of curses filled her ears as he stumbled backward, tripped over something, and went down. Alyssa scrambled out of bed and raced for the door. "Wait!" Skidding to a halt, she spun around. The intruder abruptly shoved open the shutters, allowing the golden light of a setting sun to flood the room and illuminate its occupants.
"'Tis only me."
"Robert?"
"Aye."
Straightening, he wiped the blood from beneath his nose and dropped his hand.
"Forgive me, I did not mean to frighten you."
He took a halting step toward her. "Dillon will run me through if he learns I woke you. Please, do not tell him." She would have been amused if Robert were not staring at her with an awkward combination of hesitance, apology, and fascination. Heat crept up her neck when his gaze assessed her in a disturbingly masculine way. Where was her robe? She felt naked standing before him without it. Dillon's tunic hung off one shoulder and covered her to just below her knees, leaving her calves, feet, and, worse yet, her face bare. Dismay swamping her, Alyssa ducked behind one of the bed curtains.
"Robert!"
a voice bellowed behind her. Alyssa jumped and spun around in time to see Dillon slam the door shut.
"I specifically ordered you not to disturb her."
"Dillon, She did not realize she said his name, nor did she hear the relief and pleasure her voice carried to his ears. His attention shifted to her, both his expression and tone sweetened.
You should be abed. You are not yet recovered.
Surely that explained why her knees suddenly went weak.
I made a vow, Dylan, Robert began. I come here and find her cowering behind the bed curtains, whilst you leer at her and slaver over her soft white skin, and you prattle on about a vow.
Alyssa started to protest his description of her. She was not cowering, but the soft white skin part distracted her. All thoughts fled entirely then as Dylan closed the distance between them and lifted her into his arms. Cradling her to him, he tenderly pressed his cheek to her forehead. Her heartbeat stuttered. Her flesh tingled where his whiskers abraded it.
No fever, he murmured, raising his head and giving her a proud smile, as though she had some control over her body's temperature.
I was not leering at her, Robert gritted. If you would but listen, I grow tired of listening.
Then allow me to do my duty. I am a man of honor, Dylan. I have never been forsworn and will not be so now. I made a vow, and 'tis time I—
The brothers continued to bicker as Dylan lowered her to the bed and tucked her beneath the covers. Alyssa knew not what kind of vow Robert had made, but she could feel the irritation it inspired in Dylan. As soon as a lull arose, she cleared her throat and asked Robert,
"Of what vow do you speak?"
Lips tightening, Dylan crossed his arms over his massive chest and glared at his brother. Broad shoulders back, one hand resting casually on the hilt of his sword, Robert said,
"I vowed that if healing Dylan weakened you, I would be your servant until you recovered. Whatever you ask that is within my powers to grant, I shall grant you."
Gallantly dropping to one knee beside the bed, he finished earnestly,
"I am yours to command, wise one."
Her mouth fell open. She looked to Dylan for his reaction. Dylan's arms fell to his sides as he snapped,
"Oh, get up, you horse's arse!"
She looked back at Robert, who did not budge.
"Aye, please rise, Robert."
Her eyes widened.
"My lord, please rise, my lord," she corrected, shocked that she had forgotten his proper address.
Robert shook his head as he rose to stand beside the bed. "We are alone here. There is no need for formality, particularly when I owe you so much."
"You owe me naught. I release you from your vow."
"Nay, the vow was made to myself, seer. I have sorely wronged you in the past, and regret the unkindnesses I have dealt you. I allowed myself to be swayed by the words of others, instead of judging you on your own merit."
Alyssa stared.
"But I will not be swayed, healer. I am your servant. Command me as you will."
He sniffed and swiped at his nose again. She blinked.
"Very well. Come closer."
Dylan scowled and eyed them suspiciously as Robert drew nigh.
"Kneel down as you did before."
He did so, curiosity replacing the unease she usually saw in his eyes.
"Now lean forward."
She reached a hand toward him.
"Your nose still bleeds. I would heal it for you."
"Nay!"
The brothers spoke simultaneously. Robert reared back as Dylan dove forward and grabbed her wrist, stopping her. Confused, Alyssa studied them.
"Why?"
Robert looked to his brother. Avoiding her eyes, Dylan lowered her hand to her lap and gave it a pat as he withdrew his own. Her eyes narrowed.
"You think I am too weak?"
"Aye," Dylan said. "Aye," Robert parroted. "I am not so weak as that,"
she protested indignantly.
"'Twas only today that you awakened fully," Dylan informed her. "I shall not risk your falling into another decline."
An indecipherable look passed between the brothers, leading her to suspect that something more was at work here. Robert cleared his throat.
"Mayhap some broth might appeal to you, wise one. I would be happy to fetch you some from the kitchen."
Alyssa's gaze went from one to the other.
"Make it something a little more substantial, Robert," Dylan instructed. "'Twill help her recover more swiftly."
Nodding, Robert bowed to Alyssa, then left. She stared at the closed door, wondering silently if she had not transferred her fever to Robert. Dylan laughed, drawing her gaze.
"What amuses you?"
Seating himself on the bed, he leaned to one side and rested an elbow beside her thigh.
If you could but see your expression.
She sent him a wry smile.
'Tis the truth. I feel as if I have awakened into an odd dream.
He winked. More like a nightmare. Robert is quite determined to serve you and make amends. He will not be dissuaded.
But he is not at fault, she repeated. He did not force me to heal you.
I have told him so a number of times. I suspect more of his guilt lies elsewhere. He is thankful and amazed that you went to such lengths to save my sorry hide. It has made him regret being less than kind to you in the past.
She shook her head. 'Tis bewildering.
His eyebrows rose. Is the change in him so difficult to accept? She let her gaze rove his muscled body, lounging so casually and comfortably nigh her own.
'Tis not only the change in Sir Robert that confuses me.
Dylan's expression sobered, his cerulean eyes turned watchful. Am I different with you, Alyssa?
The sound of her name falling so smoothly from his lips after so many years should not inspire this depth of pleasure. Swallowing nervously, she wished now that she had held her tongue.
You know that you are.
In what way?
His gaze swept her hidden form. His voice deepened, turned husky.
Tell me.
Alyssa's heart hammered beneath her breast. What was he doing to her? With just a look, such a look, he peeled away her exterior and threatened to expose all of her hidden desires.
In this way,
she managed to say, heart pounding, the way you look at me.
As though you are a starving wolfhound and I a choice bit of venison that has fallen at your feet. I thought you gray-haired and wrinkled beneath your robes. Yet here you are, younger than myself by several summers, unless I miss my guess, to discover such exquisite beauty. 'Tis not surprising that I look at you differently.
Still reclining on one elbow, he leaned forward and, with his free hand, brushed his fingers across her forehead, traced the arch of one brow, and trailed down her temple to her cheek. Images stirred in her mind, erotic images that stole her breath and began a flash fire in her body. Dylan drawing back the blankets, baring her body to his heated gaze, Dylan's hands and mouth touching her in the most shocking places, his clothing miraculously vanishing as he lowered his body to hers. Sucking in a breath, she drew away. Hurt dimmed the sparkle in his eyes as he dropped his hand.
That does not explain why you...
She bit her lip, afraid he would laugh if she finished her thought. What if it was all her imagination? Could it not be that the earthly desires that frequently flooded her at his touch were her own rather than his?
Continue, he urged her. You do not treat me as formally as you used to.
She danced around the issue, of course. Without her robes to hide her expression, she found herself battling a new shyness and uncertainty when nigh him. Flattening his hand on the bed, he splayed his fingers and frowned down at it.
You would prefer formality? Distance?
She opened her mouth, ready to say aye, that aught would be better than this confusion he inspired. Unfortunately, to do so would be to lie outright and, with the exception of neglecting to correct his assumptions regarding her age, she had always dealt honestly with him.
Nay, she admitted softly.
Then what troubles you about my recent behavior toward you, Alyssa?
She closed her eyes and repressed a shudder of pleasure. What troubled her about it? That she craved more and more and more of it, and feared she would soon become a glutton. Lifting her lashes, she stared at his bent head.
I simply do not understand why you were treating me with such tenderness.
His eyes rose and captured hers.
Because you are letting me.
You seek a woman who will be as gentle with you as you wish to be with her. Was this what he had meant? What he had longed for? Someone with whom he could share his warmth. Someone who would welcome his caresses, his fingers combing through her hair, as she had several times since waking.
Alyssa thought of the women who had occasionally satisfied his physical needs during their long acquaintance. How hard it had been for her, watching him disappear with this wench or that. She had known the name of every one of them,
brazen women all, enticing him to their beds, touching him boldly for all to see, pushing him until he dragged them, wide-eyed, from the great hall to the nearest place of privacy, never to his chamber. What fools! They had gone to him seeking domination, when what he had wanted most was tenderness, both to give and to receive it. She had envied them the intimacy they had shared with him, yet now understood that beyond the act itself there had been no such intimacy. Was she the first woman to whom he had shown this side of himself? The first woman who had allowed him to? If so, what did it mean? To him? To her? For the future? She was his advisor, his sorceress, his servant. He was her lord. That could never change. I know not how to react, Dylan. I know not how I should react. He smiled. Do not tax yourself so. How oft have you lectured me on the necessity of change, of accepting it and learning what one can from it? She grimaced. Aye, but that change has never affected me before. He chuckled. Mayhap 'tis time that fate did bring a few changes into your dull, dreary life. Nay, do not wrinkle your lovely brow, I but jest. Those wrinkles, he mentioned, deepened as heat crept into her cheeks. She simply did not know how to deal with him when he acted this way. Less the fierce, commanding warrior she was accustomed to, and more the buoyant young swain, who was completely unfamiliar and far too appealing. He leaned closer, eyes glittering. Ah, she blushes at compliments, and so very prettily. The heat in her face increased. I shall have to compliment you often in order to make up for all the times your cowl hid your rosy cheeks from me in the past, he murmured playfully. Alyssa grabbed a pillow, the only weapon available to her, and hit him squarely in his smile. Dylan laughed in delight. Alyssa pursed her lips, fighting a smile of her own. I begin to think that when you were struck by those quarrels, you must have fallen and hit your astoundingly hard head. You are behaving most strangely, Dylan. Tucking the pillow beneath his arm, he ran a hand through his must-hair. Well, you had better accustom yourself to it, he warned with a wicked grin, now that I know we are of a similar age. Robert entered, cutting off whatever Dylan intended to say. Kicking the door shut, he circled the bed and placed a large, cloth-covered tray in Alyssa's lap. Your dinner, wise one! She smiled up at him. Thank you, Robert. When he removed the cloth with a flourish, her eyes widened. A virtual feast lay before her, with numerous mouth-watering selections and a small bouquet of wildflowers tied with a pink ribbon. Thunder rolled across Dylan's features, even as Alyssa glanced up to gauge his response. You are not courting her, cub. You are only supposed to serve her. Robert's face tightened. Of course I am not courting her. I merely thought to please her after all she has done for us. And what do you suppose Cook thought when he saw you add posies to the platter you no doubt claimed you were preparing for your brother? Cook never saw them, Robert retorted. I hid them under my tunic until I was sure no one was about. His smile was charmingly rueful as he looked at her. I fear they are a bit bedraggled. It matters not, Robert, she assured him. 'Twas very thoughtful of you. He tossed Dylan a triumphant smile. Alyssa spoke up quickly to head off the impending explosion. I assume by the bounty before me that the two of you will be sharing my meal? Robert will dine below with the men, Dylan stated when Robert opened his mouth to reply. For a moment she thought Robert would protest, just to provoke him, but in the end he merely shrugged. Is there aught more I may do for you, wise one? She shook her head, moved by his desire to please her. I thank you, Robert, but nay. As you wish. He offered her a chivalrous bow, then strolled from the room. Scowling, Dylan watched his brother leave. Curse his hide. Robert always knew the right thing to do when it came to women, the right thing to say, exactly how to brighten a pretty face. Flowers. As much as his people distrusted her, Alyssa had probably never been gifted with flowers in her life, and Dylan could have been the first to do so had he thought of it. He could have been the one to receive her sweet smile of thanks. Instead, Robert had. Sitting up, he swiveled on the bed to face her and crossed his legs. "Pay him no mind, Dylan," she advised with a sweet smile. "'Tis only as you say. He wishes to make amends. As soon as I return to my duties, his vow will have been fulfilled, and he will move on to more interesting endeavors, leaving us to enjoy our ordinary world." Relief suffused him. "You are right, of course." He reached for a piece of bread, relaxing as his jealousy subsided. Though jealousy was new to him, he began to understand why it repeatedly drove men to make idiots of themselves. "I should not complain. His wariness around you has always troubled me." She nodded. "As it has me. I have hoped over the years that, as close as the two of you are, your trust and acceptance of me would in time find its way past his superstitions." She took the tasty bit of venison he offered with a smile, then chewed thoughtfully. Dylan's food went untouched for long moments as he watched her lips, entranced. She reached for the wine. His gaze fell to the graceful lines of her throat as she sipped, noting the gentle motions as she swallowed. A hint of liquid sparkled upon her lips when she finished, and he waited impatiently for her to sweep it away with her tongue. Ah, yes. He had had no idea a man could derive such pleasure simply from watching a woman eat, watching her drink. The movements of her hands, her lips, her tongue. A new hunger rose within him, superseding the other. "You should eat, Dylan. 'Twill help you regain the remainder of your strength. Though you appear fit, I am sure you tire more quickly than does please you." "She truly is an innocent," he thought when she tendered him a piece of roasted venison with her fingers. Dylan leaned forward and opened his mouth, allowing her to carefully place her offering inside. Before she could withdraw completely, he closed his lips, trapping one of her fingers within. He heard her breath catch and drew his tongue leisurely across her skin in a brief caress, circling and stroking. Her eyes focused on his lips as the pulse at the base of her neck began to pound erratically. So, she was as affected as he. Pleased with his discovery, he gave her fingertip a little nip and released it. Her dazed eyes met his, blinked, then flickered away as she ducked her head and nervously stuffed a piece of bread in her mouth. The finger he had teased, she curled into a loose fist and tucked against her chest. "Am I mistaken in believing that you did not serve my father?" he asked, as though naught unusual had passed between them. She cleared her throat and avoided his gaze, color still ripe in her cheeks. "Nay, my lord, I have served no other but you." He paused. Had she reverted to formality a purpose to remind him of their mutual positions, or inadvertently because he had unsettled her? "And you have been with me since my father's passing?" "Almost," she answered, her voice barely audible. "I began serving you the night I helped you take Brimshire."
"You alone?"
He wondered how she could have advised him so wisely at such an early age.
"Aye."
"What age had you attained when you came into my service?"
"I was 10 and 6, my lord."
She glanced at him from the corner of her eye and, finding him watching her, occupied herself with taking a sip of wine. Dylan began to regret making her so uncomfortable. It had not been his intention. Instinct had driven him. Instinct and a desire to learn whether the attraction he felt sparking between them was mutual or one-sided. Unfortunately, having never pursued an innocent, he lacked Robert's smoother skills. "You should eat, Alyssa," he murmured, mimicking her earlier words to him. "'Twill help you regain the remainder of your strength." Her lips lifted in a wry smile. "You have acquired the most irritating habit of late of tossing my words back at me like a discarded bone." He grinned as she took another bite. "Should good advice not be shared?" She opened her mouth to offer what he suspected would be a traditionally dry reply, then rolled her eyes and went back to eating. He fought a laugh. "I have one more question for you, then I shall leave the rest for the morrow and let you concentrate on your meal." She seemed to relax and even managed to keep from blushing when she sent him an inquiring look. Sobering, he asked the question that had been poised on the tip of his tongue ever since he had removed her cowl. Why have you hidden yourself from me these many years?
Swallowing, she dabbed her lips with her napkin. The previous wise woman would not relinquish her position until I vowed to conceal my true age and appearance beneath the robes, allowing others to believe she and I were one and the same. He nodded his acceptance of her explanation, but battled disappointment. The fact that she did not distinguish him from the others discouraged him. He had thought they had grown closer than that over the years.
She left no room for exceptions, Dylan, she continued, and I did ask. My adherence to the robes is not a reflection of any lack of trust in you. You were the one person I would have willingly shared my secret with had I been given a choice in the matter.
His spirit lightened. Curiosity rose. He had been too quick to promise to pose no further questions. She smiled.
I can see the wheels turning in that inquisitive mind of yours, but I intend to hold you to your promise and will answer no more questions this night.
He grinned. Ah, Sia, you know me well.
A crash resounded from below, drawing a sigh from him. My men appear to be celebrating my return to health and the resumption of my duties more exuberantly than 'tis wise, particularly when one considers that there was an enemy within our midst only a few days past. I'd best go down and see to them ere they destroy the trestle tables and drink themselves into oblivion.
Pushing himself to his feet, he strode over to the door, where he donned his most stern expression and pointed an authoritative finger at her.
You are to consume every crumb on that tray, Alyssa, ere I return. You have gone too long without sustenance, and have desperate need of it.
She eyed the wealth of food before her doubtfully.
I shall try, Dylan.
He grinned at the sight of her sitting there, so small in his oversized bed, seeming almost a child. When she glanced back up, he winked, earning himself another treasured smile, then ducked out into the hallway.
He would not return until he was sure she slept.
After resting beside her, always touching some part of her and drinking in her sweet presence, he was loath to give it up. 'Twas the first time in his life he had ever spent an entire night, three, actually, in bed with a woman. He found it addictive, and could not imagine sleeping without her by his side. Yet he felt certain she would object should he return early, doff his clothing, and climb into bed with her. Nay, he would wait until sleep claimed her, slip beneath the covers, hold her close through the darkest hours, then leave before dawn broke. That way he would be content, and she would remain none the wiser.
Chapter 8 Alyssa squinted up at the sun above her. Raining over the sky, it glared back, so bright that no clouds dared challenge it. Heat pressed down upon her like heavy hands on her shoulders. The ground beneath her feet would burn them as swiftly as hot coals were she to remove her boots and walk upon it in her bare feet. Her clothing clung to her with suffocating determination, saturated with perspiration. Dragging in a strained breath, she coughed when the wind peppered her with granules of sand. Fatigue pulled at her. Injuries she could not see pained her. Where was she? Chaos surrounded her, corded her. Everywhere Alyssa looked, harsh sunlight gleamed on weapons, shields, and armor stained crimson. Bodies moved in a grisly dance as hundreds of men sought to slay each other. Sound abruptly filled the silence, as though she had been covering her ears and had lowered her hands. The clang of swords striking swords made her wince. Voices called out as men were cut down, limbs severed, bodies cleaved in twain. Her heart slammed against her ribs as warriors bumped into her, buffeted her. Her ears rang with screams of agony and fear, cries for mercy. A dark figure suddenly rose up before her, robes rippling in the arid breeze, and eclipsed the sun. At the same moment, arms imprisoned her from behind, tightening like a vice and cutting off her air. As she watched in horror, the man in front of her, unidentifiable with the light behind him blinding her, released a war cry, raised his mighty curved scimitar, and swung it in an arc that would end with her head being separated from her body. Alyssa screamed and struggled to free herself. Bucking and rearing, kicking and clawing at the arms wrapped around her, she whimpered and fought for air as panic engulfed her.
Alyssa?
She stilled, heart pounding, breath coming in harsh gasps. Her eyes flew open. The thick, sinewy arms that had been clutching her jerked with surprise, then abruptly released her. The vision vanished. The cries ceased. The fear receded. Yet the metallic scent of blood seemed to linger in the air. Dylan. She lay in bed with Dylan. Or rather, he lay in bed with her. He must have come to bed after she had fallen asleep, and, well, she had not devoted any thought as to where he had been sleeping during her illness, or where he would do so tonight. But this was his chamber, his bed. He must have turned to her in his sleep, unaware of his actions, and curled his body around hers. Then his dream had become her own. Alyssa, are you all right? His voice wavered slightly. Mayhap he still fought the grip of his nightmare. She responded shakily, rolling onto her back so she could look at him. You cried out. 'Twas a nightmare. She could barely isolate him from the night. Only a nightmare. His eyes glinted in the moonlight that weakly wrestled its way through the window and into the room. He lay on his side, his face nigh hers on the pillow. As she watched, he crossed his arms over his broad chest and tucked his hands beneath them, as though he could not trust them to do his bidding. I was likewise troubled by sinister dreams. Alyssa's heart began to slow its frantic pace. Her muscles relaxed, one by one. Brushing the hair from her eyes, she turned onto her side to face him. The move brought him even closer. So close, his warmth reached toward her beneath the blankets and banished the chill fright had produced. I did not harm you, did I? He asked tentatively. Mayhap he feared he had squeezed her too tightly in his sleep. Nay, you woke me at a most opportune moment, my lord. I should thank you. He looked at her strangely, but 'twas too dark to read whatever might have been visible in his eyes. Was yours the same spectre that visits you nightly? She queried, remembering with a shudder the carnage that had surrounded her. He sighed and reached up to rub his eyes. 'Tis not always the same dream, but aye, 'twas of a similar nature. Unbidden, tears threatened. No wonder he slept so poorly. If she knew such dreams awaited her each time she rested, Alyssa would never want to sleep. And, unlike all of the other wounds she had healed for him, she knew not how to remedy this. Of what did you dream? He asked softly. She could not bring herself to tell him. 'Twould distress him to learn that his dream had invaded hers and terrified her so. Throat tight, she shook her head. I do not wish to speak of it. His large hand swam out of the shadows and cupped her cheek, testing it for tears. He frowned when he found them. Shh, 'tis all right, he murmured, pulling her toward him. You need not. 'Twas but a dream, Alyssa. Let it trouble you no more. She let him draw her head to his chest, press her body to his. He stroked her back with one hand, her hair with the other. Long, leisurely brushes, slow, soothing circles. Tranquility suffused her as she slipped her arms around his waist and mirrored his actions. He was so large and muscular, his back wide and strong. When he pressed a kiss to the top of her head and rested his cheek against her hair, she smiled and nuzzled his chest, the coarse hair there tickling her nose. Alyssa knew not what spell had befallen her. Never had she felt this sense of peace, this sense of freedom. Not a breath of air separated them. Her full breasts pressed against his chest and rippling abdomen, her hips rested against his. Their legs were loosely entwined. 'Twas, for all intents and purposes, a lover's embrace. Yet she felt no shame, no embarrassment, only a rising tide of heat as her pulse quickened once more, this time with something other than fear. The muscles beneath her hands gradually went taut, his tension finding its way into her. She felt the one part of him she had always modestly avoided viewing, but had glimpsed the morn he had leapt out of bed naked, lengthen against her stomach in the most shocking way. Breathing became difficult. The large handed her back now incited instead of soothed. But incited what? Such feelings were foreign to her, alternately exciting and frightening.
He shifted, one muscular thigh slipping between hers. His thoughts fought their way past whatever haze afflicted her.
Absently acting on them, she moved her right leg up a little higher. He moaned, a low rumble just short of a growl, and she was surprised by the pleasure she felt course through him. Sliding his hand across her hip, over her bottom and down her thigh, leaving tingling fire in his wake, he hooked his fingers beneath her knee and drew it up until it rested over his hip. She had not realized until then that he was bare. Her calf met naught but heated flesh that flexed as he leaned into her, practically rolling her onto her back and generating an even greater heat within her. The only thing separating that most intimate part of her from the most intimate part of him was the thin linen shirt she wore, which had ridden up almost to her bottom. He must have heard her gasp, for he stilled of a sudden, his hand motionless on her thigh. His fingers paused in the process of slipping beneath her shirt to caress smooth, bare skin. Alyssa. Insecurity, desire, astonishment, guilt, need. She could not differentiate her emotions from his, not whilst her body hummed and begged her to ignore her obligations, to be selfish and give in to the wondrous feelings Dylan nurtured within her. Oh, how she wanted to lean into him, rub her body against his and fan the flames higher. Alyssa. He intended to apologize. She could feel it, rising within him alongside embarrassment over what he considered his clumsiness with women. She frowned over that, because she had never once seen evidence of such, and had herself just experienced the opposite. Yet Dylan feared she would turn from him and think him crude for giving in to his base desires and touching her. Even now his body ached with need, and she could feel how he fought the urge to move against her, carefully holding himself in check. When he drew in a breath and opened his mouth, she slipped a hand up to cover it. He hesitated, then pressed a kiss to her fingertips. She closed her eyes, the knowledge that she could never have him for her own weighing her down. "Good night, Dylan," she whispered, disappointing him and herself. "Good night." She felt him tense when she slid her leg down his. Her body protesting every move, she rolled away from him onto her other side. Cool air rushed in between them, contrasting sadly with the heady flush he had left on her skin. Alyssa listened carefully, expecting him to turn away from her. He did not. He remained exactly as she had left him, utterly still. Was he as full of regrets as she? Minutes passed. Neither found solace in sleep. "Dylan?" Silently, she cursed herself for her weakness.
"Aye?"
"I am cold." A moment's hesitation followed. Then she heard the bedding rustle and felt his big, warm body mold itself to her back. The tops of his thighs met the backs of hers. One of his thick arms came around her waist, holding her close, his hand just beneath her breast. The other slipped under her head to form a pillow. Emitting a sigh of contentment, he burrowed his face into her hair and awaited her response. Surely she could allow herself this much. "Thank you, Dylan." Was that a kiss pressed lightly to her shoulder?
"Good night, Alyssa."
Dylan dragged his fingers through sweat-dampened hair and detained a passing servant long enough to request a drink.
"You seem to be in fine form again, brother," Robert said beside him. "I thought 'twould take you longer to regain your strength."
"Why?"
Dylan surveyed the hall around them to ensure no one else listened. "My wounds were healed days ago. Had I not been otherwise occupied, I would have long since joined Simon in the battle for Pinehurst."
Giving him a wry smile, Robert shook his head.
"You did not see the frightening amount of blood that spilled from your body. I did not know a man could lose so much and yet live."
Dylan recalled his and Anne-Marie's fruitless attempts to stop the unceasing crimson rivulets that had escaped Alyssa's wounds. wounds he had put there. His lips tightened, his teeth ground together. No good will come of such thoughts. He glanced at Robert with surprised censure. Presume you to know my thoughts. Both men took the tankards a serving woman offered them, then waited until she was out of earshot. You blame yourself for the pain she suffered healing your injuries. Dylan tossed his head back and drank deeply. The scars his wounds had left on her body may no longer be visible, but they had been indelibly carved into his memory, as had the more recent wounds that had nigh stolen her from him. I blame myself with good reason. 'Twas my fault. You did not knowingly step into the path of those quarrels, nor did you encourage her to heal you, knowing it might harm her in some way. If with anyone, the fault lies with me. Nay, we have already dismissed that. Dylan took a step or two away and stood watching the servants put the hall in order. Alyssa had always ensured that his home was clean and freshly scented, that colorful tapestries adorned the stone walls. 'Twas another of her tasks he had taken for granted. In all of the years I have known her, I have never questioned her method of healing, never asked her the consequences. One often does not question what one has seen and been told since birth. Our father never asked after the health of his healer. She never exhibited any weakness. Since you thought them one and the same, 'twas natural for you to assume your own came to no harm when she exercised her gift. Ignorance is no excuse. It does not erase the pain she felt each time my wounds ripped open her flesh. Dylan! Robert stopped, then nodded to the entrance, where a man stood, searching the room's few occupants. Look you there. 'Tis no doubt a message from Simon. Spotting his lord, the man hurried to Dylan's side and held out a missive. My lord, a missive from Sir Simon. Taking the roll of parchment, Dylan waved the man toward the kitchen. Seek yourself refreshment. Aye, my lord. Dylan heard fading footsteps as he scanned Simon's careless scrawl. What news? Robert asked. They are tunneling under the walls and await my orders ere they break through and take the castle. Camden suspects not because he expects them to use the trebuchets instead. A clever ploy, assembling the trebuchets within his sight to fool him into thinking he will know how and when the attack will come. I sent word to Simon of your injuries and of the failed ambush the day after you fell, so he would not wonder at your delay. And he has apprised Camden of my good health. Dylan's lips twitched, and called him a cowardly cur for not trying to kill me himself whilst he did so. His brother laughed. Would that I could have seen Camden's face. No doubt he soiled his armor when he heard you survived and will soon seek justice. Dylan grunted, staring down at the parchment. Unexpected resentment bubbled up inside him. Yet another battle that would tear him from his home. Only this time the parting would be far more difficult. He did not wish to leave Alyssa. He wanted to remain by her side, coaxing more fetching smiles from her lips, building upon the feelings that had caught them both unawares the previous night. I will go in your stead, should you desire me to do so, Robert offered softly. Looking up, Dylan read understanding in the blue eyes that so closely resembled his own. Nay, inconvenient though it may be, 'tis my responsibility as the new liege lord of Pinehurst to take it myself. I must ensure the people will be loyal to me and demand their oaths of homage. Robert nodded. Then I shall remain here and watch over the wise woman for you. No harm shall come to her in your absence, brother. I shall guard her with my life. Dylan eyed him uneasily. For a man who shunned boredom and often clamored for battle, he was awfully eager to sit this one out. You are not becoming overly fond of her, are you? Of course not, Robert snapped. Have you forgotten my vow to be her servant until she is recovered? Nay, but she saved your life, Dylan. Think you I would repay her in such a way, by making her my next conquest? Dylan scowled, feeling like a fool. 'Twas time he conquered this jealousy once and for all, before its talons became too deeply embedded to be extracted. Grimacing, Robert admitted, Besides, it may not seem so, but I have not lost all of my uneasiness around her yet. Her comely face can sometimes make me forget, whilst in her presence, but her powers, what I witnessed and experienced when she healed you? He shook his head. I try not to think about it. My lord? He turned to see his steward approaching. William had seen 80 years and had served the family honestly and competently for decades. Of average height, thin as a whip, with long white tufts of hair that formed a horseshoe around his bald crown, he was a sober man who had always seemed more at ease around Dillon and the sorceress than most.
"Aye, William. Your bath will grow cold. Do you not take advantage of it soon?"
"My bath?"
"Aye, my lord. The wise woman saw to its preparation some time ago."
"Thank you, William. I had forgotten."
When the steward left, Dillon turned and found Robert regarding him with one raised eyebrow.
"What?"
"You have not allowed her to resume her duties, have you?"
"Nay, I am sure 'twas Anne-Marie's doing. The wise woman is resting. She did not sleep well last night."
He fell silent as a new worry pricked him. He had not seen Alyssa since he had awoken with her in his arms nigh dawn. The fragrant tangles of her hair had been his blanket, as had the warm curves of her body. He had lain there, sprawled on his back, he knew not how long, savoring the wondrous feel of her arm resting upon his chest, her hand curled around his neck in a loose embrace, her breasts pressed against his side, her peaceful face pillowed by his shoulder, her thigh draped across his groin, her tiny foot tucked between his calves. He had not wanted to move, had wanted to linger, awaken her with kisses and teasing caresses. Yet, fearing her reaction, he had instead carefully extricated himself from her enticing clasp and slipped silently from the bed, then from the chamber. Were he honest with himself, he would admit that he was a little anxious about speaking with her. For the first time in years, he was reluctant to approach her. Guilt gnawed at him, enhanced by ever-present desire. Last night, Alyssa had been vulnerable, plagued by the remnants of whatever illness the healing had spawned within her. She had been struggling to adjust to the fact that he and Robert now knew her secret. And what had he done to aid her? He had flirted shamelessly with her, acted like a jealous lover whenever Robert paid her a visit, frightened her into waking from what appeared to have been a ghastly nightmare, then attempted to make love to her ere she could regain her equilibrium, fully cognizant of her innocence. And he had longed to do so again this morn.
"What is amiss?" Robert asked, interrupting Dillon's self-recriminations. "You look as though you just quaffed 2 goblets of that wine that went sour last spring."
How could he answer? "I am disgusted with myself for sinking so low as to attempt to seduce the woman I respect and admire above all others when she was at her most vulnerable." Robert had appointed himself her protector. He was the last person Dillon could confide in, or confess to, whichever the case may be.
"'Tis not. I was merely considering the arrangements that must be made ere I depart."
"When do you leave?"
"On the morrow."
Robert nodded and clapped him on the back.
"I shall see to it for you. Go and have your bath. You will no doubt be sore after the paces I put you through this morn."
Dillon cuffed his brother playfully.
"'Tis too soon to gloat, cub. You've yet to best me, even as weak and frail as I am after my injuries."
Robert had a few choice words to say about that. Dillon imagined Alyssa's cheeks would have turned quite pink if she had heard them. The fact that he could now view and treasure those lovely blushes brought a smile to his face as he climbed the stairs and approached the solar. Very quietly, he opened the door, slipped inside, then closed it, hoping his bath would not disturb Alyssa if she rested, or offend her modesty if she did not. Swiveling to face the room, he froze. His smile slowly slipped away as everything within him went still. Then his heart began to pound a hard, heavy beat, his stomach did a funny little turn, and all of the self-castigating thoughts that had beleaguered him below threw up their hands in defeat and fled. Alyssa was indeed asleep. In the bath, he had mistakenly believed was meant for him. Her head rested against the back rim of the tub, tilted the slightest bit toward the hearth in which a fire had been built to ensure she did not catch a chill. The flickering flames cast golden highlights across her dewy skin. Desire carried Dillon's feet forward.
sitting behind her on the floor, brushing Alyssa's hair and fanning it out to speed its drying, Anne-Marie gasped when she noticed him.
"My lord, I did not hear you enter. When I came in to see if I could aid the healer in some way, she requested a bath, and I—"
"Leave us," he instructed, never taking his gaze from Alyssa. He knew not what Anne-Marie saw in his face, but it sent her fleeing across the room to retrieve a bundle from the bed, then out the door without donning Alyssa's dark robe. Dylan stood beside the tub for many long moments, simply drinking in the sight of her. Alyssa's hair had begun to dry and spilled down to the floor in rivulets of midnight satin that would soon draw up into waves and curls. The hollows that had formed under her eyes lay hidden beneath the thick lashes that brushed them. The full lips he had neglected to kiss whilst his hands had made their sojourn over her body the previous night parted just enough for him to glimpse the edges of her teeth. Soft lips, pink and pouty, his mouth went dry as he pondered how they would taste, how easily they would mold to his own. The slender arms she had wrapped around him last night now balanced on the rim of the tub. The graceful hands that had stroked his back dangled limply over the side. Her tempting breasts drew his gaze next, their hard pink tips hovering just above the water's edge. The waist beneath was so small he was sure he could span it with his hands. Full hips bracketed the thatch of dark curls he had pressed his arousal against in his moment of weakness, then yielded to shapely legs he thought surprisingly long considering her diminutive height, legs he wanted her to wrap around him in passion. Staring at her, Dylan thought her more beautiful than any other woman he had ever laid eyes upon. The longer he stood there, the harder his body became, the shorter his breath grew, and the fewer scruples remained to battle his erotic impulses. Leaning down, he drew fingers that shook across her shining temple and back to circle her ear. His palm cradled her cheek as her eyelids fluttered, then lifted. "Dylan," she murmured, a sleepy welcome that touched him deeply. Smiling, she raised one hand to stroke his cheek. He heard the rasp of his beard stubble as she stroked him again, further heating his blood. Her smile faltered. A tiny crease formed between her eyebrows as she tilted her head the other way. Again she stroked him. Her eyes widened.
"Dylan!"
Jerking her hand back, she bolted upright, splashing water over the edge of the tub and saturating his feet, his legs, and the floor around him. He just managed to keep their heads from colliding. As Alyssa glanced down at herself, then around the room in unmistakable dismay, Dylan realized he had made another colossal blunder. The woman had spent 7 years completely hidden beneath black robes. Naturally, she would not be pleased to wake up and find a gawking male salivating over her naked body. What should he do? How could he repair the situation? Dylan started to straighten, already searching in vain both for a suitable apology and for a towel or robe to hand her. Alyssa made a sound of protest, grabbed his tunic with both fists, and yanked him to her. Caught off guard, he felt his balance waver and grabbed for the tub's rim. He missed. His arms plunged into water, one foot went up, the other skidded in the puddle she had just produced. And the next thing he knew, he was in the tub underwater with his face smashed between her breasts. A great deal of squirming and splashing took place next on both their parts. In the end, Dylan wound up in a position that made his head spin. His hands were braced on the bottom of the tub, behind and to either side of her. His lower body was settled, oh so wonderfully, between her thighs, balanced on his knees with his feet in the air and his shins wedged against the foot of the tub. Heat surged to his groin, which was flush against her center. What lust he had felt before trebled as he met her astonished gaze. The chamber door abruptly opened.
"Dylan, how large a contingent did you—"
The words ended in a gasp. Alyssa shrieked and threw her arms around Dylan's neck to keep him from rearing back and exposing her. He bit back a groan when her legs encircled him as well to lock him into position as her shield.
Gritting his teeth, he glared over his shoulder at his brother, impaling him with visual daggers. Robert stared at them with wide eyes and gaping mouth.
"Well?" Dylan growled.
Face reddening, Robert snapped out of his shock and straightened. Blinking, he looked around the room with exaggerated surprise and blurted,
"Why, this is not my chamber!"
Spinning around, he exited and slammed the door behind him. Nonplussed, Dylan looked down at Alyssa. Now that their unwelcome audience had left them, she relaxed her hold and leaned back so she could meet his gaze. His lips twitched. Hers followed suit. Both burst into merry laughter.
"Not his chamber?" Dylan choked.
"Mayhap Robert has had one too many shocks of late.
I believe you are right."
Their laughter quieted. Awareness returned. Silence descended upon them as they stared into each other's eyes.
"Why did you do that?" Dylan whispered finally, wondering how long it would take her to realize that her legs were still wound around him.
"Do what?"
she responded, her voice equally hushed. Supporting himself on one hand, Dylan raised the other and waggled his fingers to draw her attention to the water that dripped from them.
"Invite me into your bath."
He gave her a teasing grin to stave off the nervousness he could see creeping in.
"I did not wish you to look upon me," she admitted.
His eyes crinkled with suppressed laughter.
"And you thought pulling me down atop you would prevent that?"
Tears unexpectedly filled her eyes, contradicting the smile she forced and erasing his own.
"You were the only covering available to me."
Dylan stroked her cheek, sensing that more than simple modesty troubled her.
"Why did you not want me to look upon you?"
She shook her head mutely.
"Is it your promise to the other wise woman, your vow not to voluntarily show yourself to others?"
"Nay."
A sparkling teardrop overflowed her lashes and bathed his thumb.
"What then?"
"I did not wish to disgust you."
'Twas not at all what he had expected.
"Disgust me?"
he repeated, disbelieving.
"I am scarred."
Her brow furrowed.
"Or I was. When I woke to find you standing over me, I forgot the scars had healed and—"
She swallowed hard.
"I did not want you to see them."
"Alyssa, those scars were mine. You acquired them healing me."
When she parted her lips to speak, he touched a finger to them.
"If those scars had remained where they belonged, on my body, would they have disgusted you?"
"Nay, but you are a warrior."
"As are you. You have ridden into battle by my side more than once, and—"
He shook his head.
"Do you not know how beautiful you are to me? So lovely, your image lingers always in my mind when we are apart, distracting me from whatever task I am attempting to perform, and leaving me utterly useless to those around me. 'Twould be no different were you still scarred."
Another tear fell.
"You must not say such things when they are not true."
"But they are true," he insisted.
"You are touching me."
He brought one of her hands to his cheek and held it there.
"Can you not see the truth in my words? Can you not feel it?"
She stared at him, unspeaking.
"Alyssa."
"I cannot think clearly when you touch me," she whispered.
His heart skipped a beat. He could feel hers pounding wildly against his chest.
"You must forgive me."
"For what?"
His head dipped.
"For this."
Dylan's lips brushed hers in a first tentative kiss that was wild in its restraint, devastating in its tenderness. Alyssa suddenly found it hard to breathe. Her pulse raced, her skin tingled, every muscle tightened. And the things she heard, the things she saw. Dylan's jumbled, passion-driven thoughts, the erotic images they spawned. Her whole body heated and began to ache with the same need that consumed him. He drew back slightly, his blue eyes dark, breath short.
He bore such a look on his face, one that reflected all of the hungry chaos that devoured him inside.
Awe, coupled with need, softened by affection she would not allow herself to believe might be love.
a look that told her no other woman could stir him this way. No one else could make him forget himself so completely. She whispered his name. Dylan. His eyes closed as something like rapture blanketed his features. I love it when you say my name. He was so beautiful. Her gaze fell to the lips that had only seconds earlier claimed her own, warm and full and inviting. She knew she had to taste them again. Dylan. His eyes opened, met hers, read the desire there, and blazed with heat. Through her gifts, Alyssa felt his control fray, then snap. Scalding hunger that obliterated all reason flooded her, as though a dam had burst. Groaning, he leaned into her and lowered his lips to devour hers. When she parted them on a gasp, his tongue delved within to engage hers in a seductive dance. One muscular arm clamped around her waist and pulled her to him. Driven by need, both her own and his, she slipped her arms up around his neck once more, hugging him close, flattening her aching breasts against his chest. She tightened the legs she had wrapped around his waist, locking them at the ankles, forcing him ever closer in an attempt to assuage the heat building at her core. Dylan growled his approval and left the haven of her lips to trail a scorching path down her neck. Abandoning the support of the base of the tub, he grasped the back of her head with his other hand and surged upward. Moving their entwined bodies forward, he lowered his legs into the water, sat back on his heels, and settled Alyssa astride his thighs with her womanhood flush against his arousal. Never had she experienced such intense need, such desperate longing. Virginal fear crumpled before it as Dylan's mind and heart guided her hands. Clumsy, shaking, she divested him of his sodden tunic and threw it aside. The linen shirt he wore beneath met a similar fate. Heated flesh met hers as he pressed her against his naked chest, hard and yielding at the same time. Alyssa, he groaned, one hand going to her hips and urging her to rock against him. Can you see it now? He asked between heated kisses that followed the line of her neck to her shoulder. He glanced it with his teeth, then continued on to her collarbone and lower still. Can you feel it now? How beautiful you are to me, how desirable, how all-consuming and impossible for me to resist. Your skin. He laved the skin between her breasts with his tongue, like that of a pearl, glowing, opalescent. How did you hide it from me? I should have seen it shining forth from beneath your black robes like the moon defying the cover of clouds. Your breasts. He claimed one pebbled peak with his lips, his tongue, his teeth. The other he fitted to his rough palm, setting off a roaring fire she knew only he could extinguish. They were made for my hands, only mine, so soft and round and perfect. Your waist. I can more than span it with my hands. Such delicacy compared to my strength and bulk makes my head spin. Your hips. The hand at her breast slipped around to splay across her back, always roaming, as if he could not get enough of touching her. The other remained at her hip, sliding around to her bottom as he ground himself against her. I tremble with the need to be inside you, to feel you all around me, warm and welcoming, as frantic for me as I am for you. Your legs. In 1,000 years I would never have dreamed they would be where they are now, locked around me, urging me against you. And your face. Bestowing one last kiss upon each breast, he leaned back a few inches and stared, almost mesmerized, into her eyes. Your lovely face. He removed his hand from her back and drew fingers that quaked over her forehead to brush back her thick locks, wet once more from their splashing. I lack the words necessary to describe its beauty, and know only that in hiding it from me, you were robbing me of my greatest treasure. Moisture blurred Alyssa's vision. Tunneling her hands through his hair, she pulled him to her and kissed him with all of the love and desire and yearning he inspired. If only he knew how deeply his words, his thoughts, his touch affected her, he would have no reason to envy Robert his way with women. The kiss broke. Dylan's heart thundered in his chest where it pressed to hers. His eyes sparkled with need, with hope. Alyssa? She heard what he dared not speak aloud. Let me make love to you. Let me make you mine. I, she whispered, shocking them both. He seemed to stop breathing.
I have not asked.
She stroked his cheek. You need not, Dylan. Air left his lungs in a rush. Burying his face in her neck, he squeezed her against him. I do not deserve this. Clenching her eyes shut, she pressed a kiss above his ear. You deserve better. He froze for a moment, then relaxed and kissed her throat. There are none better. Anchoring one arm around her back and one under her hips, he whispered, Hold tightly to me. Nodding, she curled her arms around his neck and held on as he rose to his feet, graceful despite being encumbered by her weight. The delicious friction of their bodies rubbing against each other kept her warm as he stepped out of the tub with care and onto the driest section of floor available. A few strides later, he lowered her to the bed. She smiled when he retrieved a towel and took the time to squeeze the excess water from her hair before he drew the cloth gently down over her body, first the front, then the back. I do not wish you to catch a chill, he explained. With you as my blanket I shall not, she murmured, wondering at her own brazenness. She grinned when his hands flew into action, shucking his boots and his soggy hose and brays in seconds. Once naked, he stood beside the bed for a moment to let her drink her fill of him. Blushing furiously, she let her gaze dip below his waist and swallowed. She had seen the uncovered loins of a few men in her years as a healer, but those had all been aged, infirm men who were far from being aroused. You are very large, Dylan.
He smiled and lay down beside her, cradling her close as he had after their shared nightmare. Are you frightened? He pressed his lips to the top of her head. Again, any maidenly fear she might have felt was eclipsed by their combined hunger.
Only a little.
Dylan cupped her face in one palm and forced her to look at him. Should you wish me to stop at any time, you need only speak the words, and I shall do so without complaint. I wish to do naught that does not bring you pleasure, Alyssa. He told her, face and voice earnest. As love for him swelled within her, she turned her head slightly and kissed his palm. Judging by the minutes we just passed together in yon tub, you know very well what brings me pleasure. A faint smile lit his features as he surrendered at last. Claiming her lips with his own, he rolled her to her back and began a fervent exploration of her body with his hands and mouth, her lips, her breasts, her navel, and lower. She writhed helplessly, tangled in the web of desire he wove, as Dylan made several of the scandalous fantasies she had seen in his thoughts become reality. Though he touched her and kissed her in ways and places that shocked her, Alyssa uttered not a word of complaint, moaning his name instead and arching into him. And when he settled himself between her thighs and she felt his body begging entrance, she felt no fear.
I do not wish to hurt you, he groaned, his muscles trembling with restraint. She kissed his earlobe. Then do not stop.
There was pain, despite the care he took in breaching her maidenhead, but 'twas soon forgotten, buried beneath the wonder she felt at their bodies being joined so intimately. After giving her a moment to adjust to his intrusion, Dylan began to move. Thrusting and withdrawing, his muscles bunching. Sparks of desire struck her with increasing intensity. She arched up against him, needing more, needing to be closer and closer still. He slid a hand to her hip, guiding her, teaching her the motions, feeding the fire that consumed her and urging her toward something she did not recognize. He recognized it. He wanted it, craved it. She could feel it, but he would deny himself until she found it. His movements quickened, as did her breath. Dylan, she moaned, holding him tighter, reaching for it, straining for it. His hand left her hip, and she felt his fingers slide over to the dark curls that shielded her core. Lightning danced through her as he stroked and teased with the same rhythm of his body moving inside her. Ecstasy swept through her in wave after wave, tightening her muscles and drawing his name from her lips a final time. Groaning, he stiffened above her, his head flung back, and the pleasure began anew as his ecstasy became hers. He collapsed upon her, the bulk of his weight balanced on his forearms. Panting, replete, they held each other as their breathing slowed. Their pulses grew more even, their muscles relaxed. Still joined, Dylan rolled them to their sides and, hooking a hand behind her knee, drew her leg up to rest atop his hip as he had the previous night. Content, Alyssa snuggled her head to his chest and let her lashes drift shut. Tranquility embraced them. Far more attuned to his thoughts and emotions, she could feel that, for the first time in years, Dylan was at peace. He was happy. But she knew 'twould not last. "You leave for Pinehurst on the morrow," she whispered. He sighed. "Aye. You will not allow me to accompany you."
"I cannot."
He stroked her hair, kissed her forehead.
"Please do not argue with me, Alyssa."
She would have argued, had she not been privy to his thoughts. Her own safety was not all that would be at risk if she followed him. Dylan, too, would be in danger, his mind on her instead of his enemy. Such was the power of their attraction, their new-found passion. "I fear for you," she admitted. The last time he had left her behind, she had nigh lost him.
"Do not. All will be well."
But the fear would not leave her. Seeking comfort, she wrapped an arm around him and pulled herself closer to him. He stiffened, and she felt him move inside her. All fear fled, replaced by the first tinglings of returning desire. Curious, she flexed the muscles in the leg draped over him, pressing her hips flush against his, pulling him in deeper. Her pulse leapt as hunger streaked through her. She heard Dylan hiss in a short breath, felt his fingers clench in her hair.
"Alyssa," he uttered gruffly.
Though clearly ready to make love again, he was determined to restrain himself. For her sake, she discerned. "I?" she asked, all innocence, and drew back a bit. He sighed with relief. Until she pulled him to her again. Groaning, he dropped a hand to her hip to still her enticing movements.
"You must not. 'Tis too soon."
"Is it?"
"Aye."
"Oh." Ignoring him, she continued to move her hips, remembering the rhythm he had taught her. Forward and backward, together, apart, appetite rising. "Are you quite certain?" she persisted, quelling the urge to let her hands explore him.
"Aye," he groaned.
He did not even realize that his hand at her hip had slid around to cup her bottom and now urged her on.
"Aye."
She bit back a grin. "Well, you do know more about this sort of thing than I do."
"More," he muttered, "much more."
Breath quickening, she managed to say, "Then I bow to your greater knowledge. If you need more time to recover, I shall simply have to restrain myself."
"Aye."
He stilled. Leaning back, he stared down at her through glazed, suspicious eyes.
"What?"
She tried, but could not keep her lips from twitching. He barked out a laugh and hugged her.
"Precious imp, see what you have done to me. My lips say one thing, whilst my body shouts another."
"'Tis not me," she insisted with a grin.
"Not you, eh? Just your luscious, utterly distracting form."
His hands found her ribs and tickled giggles from her as he rolled her about the bed. When at last she was able to catch her breath again, he lay atop her, his face lit with a warm smile as he combed her damp, tangled hair back from her face with gentle fingers.
"How you tempt me."
The truth of his statement was very evident in the body pressed to hers. "The reverse is also true."
"I fear 'twill hurt you.
Surely she is sore." "Listen to your healer," she advised him with a wink. "There is no reason for you to halt your amorous pursuits."
"Well, then," he grinned and waggled his eyebrows, "I would never presume to ignore the advice of such a wise, wise woman."
Alyssa welcomed his kiss as his hands slipped down to her breasts. In all of the times she had allowed herself to consider the act of lovemaking, she had never dreamed that it could be accompanied by the laughter and teasing in which they continued to engage. Softer, slower,
Their second joining may have lacked the desperate urgency of the first, but 'twas no less intimate or moving. Afterward, both exhausted, they slept, curled together, complete.
Chapter 9.
Dylan came awake slowly. Eyes still closed, he smiled, more at peace than he had been in years. If only he could remain thus, spooned around Alyssa's sleeping form, and never again need to emerge into the real world. She stirred in his arms, sighing as she released her hold on sleep. They lay amongst the tangled bed linens facing the window. Dylan pried first one, then the other eyelid open and located the sun. Judging by its position in the sky, they had not slept long. Dusk would not blanket the earth for a few hours yet. "Robert would think you have fallen ill if he knew you were lazing the day away," she murmured drowsily. Smiling, he nuzzled her hair away from her ear and graced it with a kiss. "More like he would suspect you of casting a spell on me. I have not slept in the afternoon since I was in swaddling clothes."
"You deserve a restful afternoon."
Sadness crept into her voice. "The days ahead will be difficult." Dylan tightened his arms around her. "Were it not so dangerous, you know I would not leave here on the morrow without you."
"I know, Dylan. You need not explain."
Their tranquility shattered as visions of his imminent departure engulfed them. "Would you do something for me ere I leave?" he asked after a moment. "Of course," came her immediate response. "How may I serve you?" "Nay," he snapped, pushing himself up onto his elbow and urging her to her back. "Nay," he repeated more gently. "I do not ask you as your lord. I ask you as your..." Dylan hesitated. What exactly was he to her now?
"My friend?" she supplied tentatively.
He smiled down at her. "Friend, lover. She was so much more than that. Aye."
Pink touched her cheeks as she returned his smile. "Then I shall answer as your friend. What boon do you ask?"
"I would like you to show me your garden. I wish to know more of you." Reaching up, she combed her fingers through the hair above his forehead, smoothing it back in a gesture so casual and endearing that he felt his heart contract. "Will you show me?"
'Twas the first time he had asked her to share something so personal with him, other than her body, of course, he thought, with a twinge of guilt. "Aye, Dylan."
Relieved, excited, he planted an exuberant kiss on her lips, then leapt from the bed. "Come, let us rise." They used the now cool bath water to wash before donning their clothes. Alyssa seemed embarrassed by her nudity, despite Dylan's attempts to put her at ease, and he reminded himself once more that she had kept every aspect of her face and form hidden for 7 years. 'Twould be folly to think that shifting from showing none of herself to showing all of herself would be easy. He knew not how he had conquered her shyness last night, how he had coaxed her into letting him explore every lovely curve. Pushing away the amorous thoughts that began to form, he frowned at the kirtle she pulled on over her shift. Although not the same garments he had torn off of her when she had lain bleeding to death, both were in very poor condition. "She deserves better," he thought, as he buckled on his sword belt. "Silks and satins and velvets, adorned with jewels that mimic the sparkle in her eyes. She should be garbed as the lady of the castle. She should be the lady of the castle. His lady. His countess." Yet something told him she would balk if he dared suggest as much. "You are staring, Dylan." Blinking, he realized he had indeed been staring. A flush of uncertainty painted her features. He smiled and closed the distance between them. "Forgive me. I was merely committing your beauty to memory ere you hide it beneath this." Reaching up, he helped her tug the black robe down over her head. Her color deepened.
"You flatter me."
"I speak the truth."
Dylan clasped the lowered cowl loosely in both hands, one on either side of her face.
Her pale skin provided stark contrast to the midnight material. Her glossy, raven hair had been tamed into a single braid, accompanied by so much muttering and grumbling that he had chuckled as he stopped to watch her wrestle with it. Her full lips were still rosy and slightly swollen from his kisses. So much warmth and understanding filled her gaze as she stood staring up at him that he wanted to crush her to him and never let her go. "Dylan?" She waited for him to raise the hood into place. "I cannot," he murmured, unmoving. He should feel some guilt, he supposed, for the main motivation of his refusal appeared to be greed. He was greedy for the sight of her, every smile, every twitch or purse of her lips, every blink of her entrancing brown eyes, every flicker of her long lashes, every rising, falling, and drawing together of her sculpted eyebrows, every crinkling of her forehead, every wrinkling of her nose. How could he bear to have it hidden from him again now that he knew all that he would be missing? Even more unthinkable, once she raised the cowl, would Alyssa slip back into her role of advisor and forget all that they had shared? Her hands came up to clasp his wrists. "You know this is how it must be." "For now," he conceded with reluctance. She shook her head, eyes full of regret. "For always." Nay, that he would not, could not accept. Leaning down, he pressed a quick, hard kiss to her lips, then drew the hood up to shield her face. "We shall speak more of this later," he intoned, and led her from the solar. Alyssa did not realize just how much she had changed since her healing until she followed Dylan out of the solar and down to the great hall. His easy acceptance of her appearance had made her complacent. The kindness he, Robert, and Anne-Marie had heaped upon her had been a healing balm for her soul, yet it could not safeguard her from the pain inflicted by others. Throughout the keep, the mood toward her had shifted, deteriorated. Those who had feared and mistrusted her before now seemed utterly repulsed, alarmingly hostile. Their narrowed gazes impaled her, their mouths moved in mutters. Even the precious few who had been civil in their dealings with her in the past now crossed themselves and scurried away as she neared them. "I have been negligent," Dylan confessed through tight lips as he noted her reception. "I assure you, the problem will be dealt with ere I depart."
"What has altered?" she whispered.
Starting, he glanced down at her, then frowned and gave his head a slight shake, as if her elderly woman's voice had caught him off guard. Had he forgotten so swiftly that her guise went beyond the robes?
"Is it," she swallowed, "is it because I killed Gavin?"
Her hand still shook, and her stomach still knotted whenever she thought of it. Though she had ridden into battle at Dylan's side in the past, Gavin's life was the first she had ever taken. "In part, those who were not present in the Great Hall fail to understand why you killed him. They do not know that, had you not done so, he would have impaled you with his dagger. Every man who was in that Great Hall can attest to it, and would have done the same as you in your position, but none have spoken in your defense." Nor would they. Such should not surprise her. "I shudder to think what might have transpired had Sir Rolf's reaction not warned you in time," he continued. "Those who were there are wrong to condemn you for defending yourself, and unwise. Had you done naught to stop him, Gavin and Camden would have emerged the victors. You would have died, and, without your healing skills, I would have perished as well." 'Twas a relief that Dylan did not condemn her for it.
"What else angers them?" she asked as they stepped out into the crisp autumn air.
He sighed.
"A rumor that you took the life of the spy in the dungeon." "Did you not tell me he hanged himself?"
He had been alive and unharmed when she had left him. "Aye." He lowered his voice as they descended the steps of the keep and began crossing the inner bailey. "Around the time you were being healed by the other soothsayers, which makes me wonder if one of them might not have snuck down there before leaving and aided him in finding the rope. But some of the people whisper that you bespelled him."
"They believe I tortured him, too," she murmured.
"Aye. A moment passed. Did you? 'Twas the first time he had broached the subject. She shook her head.
I merely frightened him into telling the truth.
How?
Rats and snakes, if you can believe it.
He huffed a laugh.
Rats and snakes frightened him?
Aye, but they did not bite him, she hastened to clarify.
I simply sent the rats up his hose, then released two snakes, who thought the rats would make a fine meal.
And that worked? He asked, brow puckering with disbelief. She smiled. Dylan was fearless. It should not surprise her that he expected others to be as well.
In truth, I did not expect it to succeed either, but 'twould seem the man had a most grave fear of snakes.
He grunted. Not at all the gruesome torture of which you have been accused. Alyssa sighed, weary of it all.
They are all so eager to believe the worst of me.
Until that night, she had injured not one resident of Westcote, had never used her gifts for aught but healing and helping those who now spread the vicious rumors about her. 'Tis infuriating, he growled. They offer me their loyalty when I give them so little, whilst you, who have aided almost every individual at Westcote at one time or another, are rebuffed. She stopped him with a hand on his arm, the black material of her robe hiding it from others' view.
Do not underestimate your worth, my lord. Your father was a good man and kept his people fed, but they have flourished under your care.
And your guidance, he added. Poised on the steps of the keep, he surveyed his holding with a troubled frown. It was beginning to dawn on him, she realized, one of the many insurmountable obstacles that would prevent them from seeking a future together. If she could not find favor with his people as their healer, they certainly would not accept her as his leman. And she could never be his wife, despite the strong attachment for her she could feel growing within him.
Your people may be wary of your temper, and overly preoccupied with the fearsome reputation you have earned, she continued. But you won their hearts long ago. Each time you defended them from marauders and villains and thieves, each time you helped them bury loved ones and ordered their dwellings repaired. You built a wall around the village to further ensure their safety. You
do not know their names, he interrupted.
What?
There is not a man, woman, or child at Westcote whom you do not know by name. You have healed someone in every family. You have that link with them, and I do not. Yet they persist in— He sighed and ran a hand down over his face. I did not express my displeasure so that you would sing my praises, wise woman. Even his inability to call her by name frustrated him. Releasing his arm, she followed him down the steps and matched his strides, slowed so as not to tire her, as he began traversing the inner bailey.
I appreciate your concern, my lord, but naught can be done to alter things as they are. A life's worth of superstition and distrust cannot be erased in a day, or a fortnight, or even a year, for that matter.
Aye, it can change in a day, he declared gruffly. It will change in a day. I must simply apply myself to discovering the means I shall use to induce the metamorphosis.
And a great metamorphosis 'twould be.
Even more so now. Alyssa's lips twitched. Glancing around to ensure their privacy, she murmured teasingly from the safety of her cowl,
A few hours in my arms, and you believe yourself capable of sorcery. Mayhap wizardry does course through my veins.
A burst of laughter escaped him, turning heads as far as the stables. His eyes twinkled merrily.
A few more such hours, and I could work miracles. What say you, healer?
When she made no response, her boldness now lurking behind timidity, he laughed again.
Would that I could see your face, he pronounced, lowering his voice. 'Tis no doubt as flushed as the rest of your beautiful body was when I—
Ahem! The sound of a man clearing his throat behind them interrupted him. Dylan closed his eyes and gripped his forehead in a visible attempt to generate patience. Alyssa bit her lip to keep from laughing.
Dylan, a moment, if you will.
They turned in unison to confront his brother.
Robert's gaze flickered from one to the other, then away, as an unexpected blush crept up his neck.
"What is it, Robert?"
As actively and enthusiastically as Robert entertained the women of Westcote, Alyssa thought it odd that catching Dylan in the act of invading her bath would embarrass him so.
"I wanted to confirm the number of men you wish to accompany you on the morrow, after the difficulties you encountered the last time."
His eyes went to Alyssa, then returned to Dylan, as if he were hesitant to mention it in front of her. Because Dylan had been wounded? Because she had almost perished saving him? Who knew? Alyssa took a step back, hands clasped in front of her inside the long black sleeves.
"I shall leave you to your discussion."
She started to turn.
"Wait."
Dylan's protest stopped her. Glancing up at him, she realized he feared she would not show him her garden if she left now.
"I shall speak with Harry until you are finished. We can continue our business then, my lord."
"You will await me at the gates?" he persisted.
Robert studied them, his shrewd eyes missing naught.
"Aye," she affirmed, "I shall be there."
Dylan smiled, relaxing once more. "Very well, I shall not tarry long."
"As you will."
She felt their gazes follow her as she continued across the inner bailey. Westcote was quite large, impressive, the envy of many, both landed and landless alike. It possessed two separate baileys, each surrounded by a high wall and a moat. The inner curtain wall was broken by four round towers. The outer boasted six. The smaller inner bailey encased the stables, the mews, the garrison, the armory, the smithy, a tilt-yard, two spacious training fields, both of which were currently occupied by sweating, straining soldiers and sparring squires, a third for practicing archery, a large, profuse garden just outside the kitchen, a pond stocked with fish, a well-tended orchard, carefully cultivated hives. The ringing of the blacksmith's hammer followed Alyssa as she passed through the first formidable barbican, across the drawbridge, and into the outer bailey, which housed the village. She tried to ignore the fearful looks she received as she passed. Hands rapidly made the sign of the cross, others fisted with forefingers and pinky fingers extended to ward off the evil eye. The only friendly face in the sea of suspicion that surrounded her was the one that swam into view as she approached the outer barbican. Harry greeted her with a wide-open smile, oblivious to the odd looks to which his companions treated him.
"Wise one, 'tis a glorious day, is it not?"
he offered brightly. Though he could not see the face her cowl concealed, he seemed to know 'twas Alyssa.
"Aye, 'tis beautiful," she agreed,
warmed by his happiness to see her.
"The nights grow cold. Mayhap winter will fall across the land early this year."
"Verily, I had not noticed."
She had been ensconced in Dylan's solar, snug beneath layer upon layer of furs and blankets, with a fire in the hearth to dispel any cold air that attempted to seep in through the cracks. If winter did approach early, she would do well to prepare a large quantity of the medicines Harry and others like him used to soothe the pain that settled in their joints each time the temperature dipped or a storm rolled in.
"Agnes, the weaver's wife, was complaining only yesterday of the ache plaguing her hands and wrists," he continued, confirming her thoughts.
She nodded.
"Who else requires my aid, Harry?"
"Have you lost your senses?"
Dylan smiled inwardly, staring at the place where Alyssa's small, black-robed figure had disappeared through the gatehouse several minutes ago.
"Aye, twice this afternoon."
"Well?"
"You would not ask me such a question had you not already formed your own opinion. What troubles you, cub?"
"You mean other than walking in on you fornicating with the healer?"
He shrugged, surprised Robert had waited until they had concluded their business to mention it.
"You should have knocked."
"Have you no shame?"
Robert hissed, careful not to raise his voice and draw attention to them. The depth of his brother's agitation surprised Dylan.
"She saved your life, nigh forfeiting her own in the process, and you would repay her by seducing her and robbing her of her innocence?"
Dylan's eyes narrowed. "What know you of her innocence?" His brother had spent far less time in her presence than he had. The look Robert gave him next said, "Look who you are asking. I have been with enough women to recognize one who is pure, brother, and those I always give a wide berth." "I knew not you possessed such a weighty conscience,"
Dylan commented dryly. He had to admit he had not realized his brother was so discriminate and, before Alyssa, had in fact envied him his many lovers.
Robert shrugged. "I am not so noble as that."
"Then think you a maiden would not offer you as much sport as a widow or a whore?"
If so, he was sadly mistaken. Dylan had never tasted such ecstasy as he had found in Alyssa's sweet embrace. Robert smiled a little. "I do not believe a virgin would be as inventive as the women who seek me out, nay, nor would she know how to prevent conception. My strict avoidance of innocence is the reason I have not peopled Westcote with bastards."
Despite his efforts to the contrary, Dylan felt himself pale.
"I see you understand now."
Robert eyed him somberly. "After all she has done for us, 'twould not be right for you to use her, then leave her with a babe in her belly."
Mayhap he already had. Mayhap his seed had already taken root, and Alyssa even now carried his child. Should that thought not alarm him? Should fear or worry or anxiety not assail him now, instead of the warm jubilation that sifted through him? How would she look, swollen with his child? As slender and graceful as she was, he found it difficult to imagine her waddling ponderously into the solar, with one hand resting protectively on their unborn babe. Even the idea of such made him want to smile.
"Dylan?" "What?" "Oh, what makes you think I would discard her?"
Robert's gaze sharpened. "Are you saying you would not?"
"I care a great deal for her,"
he avowed softly. A worried frown marred the younger man's forehead. He brought his hands to his hips and sighed.
"Do you love her?"
Dylan stared out over the busy bailey.
"I believe so, aye."
If aught, his words seemed to increase his brother's concern. Much to his surprise, Dylan himself felt liberated, pleased to have reached the realization.
"Dylan, she is not of noble blood. Her bloodlines mean naught to me.
If you seek to take her as your mistress, nay, nor will the rest of the nobility care as long as she remains your mistress for but a short time, but should you seek to make the wise woman your bride, they will never accept her, nor you."
Irritation tightened Dylan's jaw. "They do not accept me now. They merely tolerate my presence because of my title and the power I wield.
Even that will be lost to you should you pursue this. You know well their cruelty. That which the wise woman suffers here will be naught compared to the barbarism she will face at the hands of those of our station if she weds you,"
Robert persisted. "And what of the king? King Richard will want you to wed a noble woman from—"
"Enough! I will speak no more of this."
Stiff with anger, he spun around to leave. Robert grabbed his arm before he could get away.
"Dylan!"
Gritting his teeth, he turned back to hear whatever else his doom-saying brother felt impelled to impart.
"What?"
"As your brother, I support you in your every endeavor. Should marriage to the sorceress be what you truly desire, then I shall welcome her as my sister with an open heart. I merely wanted you to be aware of the obstacles you will face in trying to make her yours."
His anger melting, Dylan clamped a hand on Robert's shoulder.
"Thank you, brother. But in listing those obstacles, you neglected to include the people's fear and distrust of her."
Robert grimaced. "I did consider that, but thought the people's superstitions would be easier to overcome than the circumstances of her birth or our king's love of making gainful matches."
"Have you any suggestions?" Dylan asked. He suspected these were all the reasons Alyssa had told him she would forever remain his advisor, hidden beneath the robes.
He watched his brother squint, peering thoughtfully at the people around them.
"Nay," Robert admitted, "not yet, but I shall think of something."
Dylan smiled. "Thank you, Robert. You give me reason to hope."
Crossing his arms over his chest, Robert raised both eyebrows. "You seem to have already made your decision."
"She brings me peace, Robert, and makes me happy in a way I have never been before. I would be a fool did I not cherish her for it."
Eager to return to Alyssa's side, he left his brother and made his way through the inner and outer baileys with long, swift strides. Though he could not see it, Dylan could feel Alyssa's smile when he joined her at the outer barbican. Harry stood close to her, his face wreathed in a smile that puzzled onlookers as he listed the names of men, women, and children who suffered from this ailment or that. Dread coiled within Dylan as he pondered the decision he now faced. No doubt Alyssa would seek out each one mentioned to offer aid, whether they overcame their fear of her and sent for her or not. Some she would heal with herbs, others she would heal with her hands. He swallowed. How could he let her do it? Allow her to use her gift to take their pain and illness and injuries into herself? Leave those who reviled her and would give her not a word of thanks or kindness to bask in their restored good health whilst she suffered in their stead? 'Twas unthinkable, and so soon after her brush with death, after her own illness. On the other hand, how could he say her nay? 'Twas only recently that she had told him that a gift withheld was no gift at all. Would she not resent him if he forbade her the use of her special healing skills? Would she not see such as a rejection of that part of her that had inspired so much distrust in others, as a rejection of her? He would gladly cut off his sword arm before he would hurt her a purpose. So he found himself in something of a quandary. Now that he knew the true nature of her gifts, to permit her to use them freely would be to invite her to do herself harm. To forbid her to utilize them would be to watch her die a little inside each time another suffered as a result. And she would never forgive him should one of his people perish for lack of her care. "You seem troubled, my lord," she whispered as they left Harry and the rest of Westcote behind them. He followed her into the dense, dark forest to the south. The fact that she had not abandoned her guise, now that the trees had swallowed them up and hid them from others' view, unsettled him. Did she mean for their relationship to return so soon to what it had been before she had healed him, before he had looked upon her unveiled, before they had made love so tenderly, so passionately? He had always enjoyed her company, but could not bear the thought of retreating to the scrupulously respectful distance that had stood between them in the past. "Aye," he answered, finding comfort in the familiar despite his concern. For 7 years now he had taken his troubles to Alyssa, seeking her counsel, respecting and valuing her opinions. 'Twas one of the reasons he had not believed he would ever marry, though 'twas one he had not mentioned to her. He had wanted a wife who would prove to be as good a helpmeet as his wise woman had, a partner in whom he could confide, not merely another pretty ornament to decorate his household. Had he not been injured so gravely, would he ever have discovered that Alyssa was the one he had sought?
"Mayhap, if you were to share your problem with me, we might endeavor to solve it together," she suggested.
Were her cowl folded back, he would run an affectionate hand over her hair and pull her close for a kiss, telling her without words how much he appreciated her. Instead, he smiled to soften his refusal. "Nay, this time 'tis something I must struggle with alone. You have my thanks, though." She nodded, her disappointment palpable as they made their way through dappled sunlight. The trees and bushes conferred with one another as a cool breeze tickled its way through them. Uncertain of the quality of her robe, he began to worry she might catch a chill. "Are you warm enough, Sia?" he asked, reaching for the clasp that held his cloak together, ready to wrap it around her for increased warmth.
"Aye, Dylan, these robes are very warm."
Just as he noted that she had abandoned formality and once more spoke in youthful, dulcet tones, she parted the brush in front of him and stepped into a pool of bright sunshine. Swiveling to face him, she drew back her cowl and proffered a proud smile.
"Welcome to my sanctuary."
Dylan froze as his breath left him. No air replaced it. He could not seem to squeeze any into his lungs, past the throat that rapidly grew tight. Dazzling sunlight bathed her features, lending her ivory skin an unearthly glow. Her brown eyes sparkled with golden highlights he had been unable to discern in the dimness of the castle.
radiant rays reflected off of full pink lips, making him hunger for them anew. She was so lovely his heart ached. Her smile faltered as the silence lengthened, broken only by the twittering of birds that watched from the tree limbs. Dylan? The hand he raised shook as he folded his fingers in and drew his knuckles down her cheek. Alarm flared in her eyes, burning brightly as she frowned up at him. Dylan, what is amiss? He had to swallow once to force his voice to cooperate. 'Tis the first time I have beheld you in sunlight. His voice sounded hoarse. You are so beautiful. I wish I had the words to describe you, Alyssa, so that you might see yourself through my eyes. She bit her lower lip, but not before he saw it quiver. Had he said it right? Had he managed to convey what it meant to him to see her like this, so incandescent in the sun's beams? One of her small hands came up to clasp his own and brought it to her lips. You need no other words. You said it perfectly. His gaze went to her hair. Take it down, he implored. I would see it loose. Watch it dance on the wind. Smiling, she turned her back to him, tugged her braid from her robes, and waited for him to perform the task himself. Dylan grinned, feeling like a boy rewarded with a treat. He swiftly went to work, giving her captivating curls their freedom, and combed his fingers through them until they fell loosely down her back to graze her hips. The scent of lavender rose up to tease him. Welcoming it with a deep inhale, he walked around to stand before her. It shimmers like a moonlit lake, he whispered, and indeed it did, the sun's rays uniting with the breeze to make the dark strands come alive. He wanted so badly to kiss her in that moment. Alyssa must have been of the same mind, for she rose onto her toes and touched her soft lips to his. Her arms came around his neck, the black material of her sleeve sliding back as she leaned her slight weight into him. Settling his hands at her waist, Dylan enjoyed the leisurely kiss. I love you. The words formed in his mind without any forethought, and he knew them at once to be true. I love you, Alyssa. I shall find a way for us to be together. She drew away, umber eyes glinting with moisture, and gave him a smile imbued with melancholy. 'Twas almost as though she had read his thoughts and saw no hope for them. Come. Taking one of his hands in her own, she began to walk backward, tugging him after her. Let me show you my garden.